picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello, everybody. Annyeong.
Hello.
Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya podcast. So, we have a new review.
Oh, we do? Is it about me?
It better not be.
If it's not about me, we don't have to read it out loud.
No, it is. I want you to
skip straight to the episode.
So we don't have a new review to talk
about. Okay, let's see.
Gen F 707, just a good hang. Listening to them makes me feel like I'm there hanging out with them. It's like they are some of my BFFs. They just don't know that, or me. Lydia's laugh, Jesse's plant graveyard journey, and cutting requests. Adam's real approach to his Hoya collection and overall friendliness, and best part of this podcast, just make you smile and laugh along aside them while listening. Wow, this is really difficult for me to read. I don't know why.
Really? You were like, called for
hey,
this,
listen, don't be ableist. Like, literally, a good time seems to be had by all podcasters and listeners. As an official Hoya head, this podcast is a must.
I love it.
Thanks, Jen. That was really kind.
Thank you.
Thank you for leaving your review.
Thank you for your review.
Thank you for the wholesome, balanced review.
I invite anyone who wants to make a review to make one. It doesn't have to be about me. But, you know, slightly more appreciated what it is.
So thank you always for leaving us reviews. I know, like, in the past, whenever people would leave reviews, we wouldn't be able to see the international ones. Like, they post, especially on Apple, they post by region. And we used to be able to see them on a place called Chartable, but Chartable tanked. And so now we can't see them. So if you're leaving us a review internationally, we still thank you immensely. I don't know how to see the review. If somebody knows, let me know, because I used to really enjoy reading those.
Hey, maybe there's where all the reviews that mention you are.
Yeah. All your Korean fans.
Yeah. All our international fans.
Haseyo.
That was good.
Thank you. That's the only thing I did know.
That was good that you even remember the honorific.
But wait. Haseyo.
Yes, you have to put your hand over your belly button.
Belly button.
Wow, your belly button's high. It's like where your sternum is.
No, it's not.
That's where your belly button is?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Annyeong. Haseyo.
Yes. Okay. Good job.
That was today's Korean lesson.
For somebody older than you. What if I said it to someone that's younger than me, though?
But you still use honorifics if you don't know them.
Okay.
Regardless of age.
Oh, so yeah. Okay.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't know how old they are. You know, yeah. But even if it's like a kid sometimes, you know, because you just want to stay
respectful.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you for the review. Today, we're going to talk about Hoya Crassi Petiolata.
Crassi. Woo! Ooh, this Hoya is a bitch to spell.
I'm going to say.
Every time.
You could have stopped at the B word because I have personal beef with Hoya Crasipidiolata.
You do?
Personal?
Yeah.
Well, should we go on a journey and you want to tell us about it? I mean,
you want to air this beef?
No, it's okay. Personally, my beef with Crasipidiolata is it looks like one of those Hoya that's just like easy, like breezy, beautiful. Vamanos.
Cover girl.
She's gorgeous. Like if you've seen Crasipidiolata, she's gorgeous. She's splashy. She's got, you know, medium-sized leaves. Everything great. And I used to have one.
You used to have a lot of things.
And it died in like this like slow death. And I kept taking cuttings, hoping I could root them, hoping I could save her. And she just kept dying, even though I gave her all of the effort in my heart. Yeah. So I feel like Crasipidiolata has beef with me. Therefore, I have beef with her.
See, I was going to come on today and be like, this is a very beginner-friendly, excellent Hoya for any Hoya lover.
Maybe it is. I think it is, though, Jesse. Maybe it is. When yours was dying, where were the leaves turning yellow?
Were they already yellow? Did it have leaves?
It had leaves. I don't remember. Okay. It's been a while.
Mine was like absolutely covered in flat mites. And so when it was, because it's so, it was very beginner friendly. Like I treated that thing like crap. But then there just became a point where it had so much flat mites that that's when it started turning yellow and leaves were dropping. And I was like, something's up. So in that case, you're just maybe screwed. But yeah.
Maybe. I haven't had it since before I knew flat mites were a thing, so maybe that was it, but now we have beef.
We've got beef.
Dang.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, but Hoya, okay, so Hoya Crasipidiolata, I was trying to open the...
Yes.
It opened. It wasn't. I didn't just download...
A virus.
A virus onto my iPad. I legit... It opened. So Hoya Crasipidiolata, when I was looking at the information for it, two things that I found super interesting. For some reason, in my mind, I was like, I bet Hoya Crasipidiolata has been around for a really long time. And possibly it has, but the first publication for it didn't come out until 2017. What? And then the time that they actually got a specimen for it, for like scientific purposes, was in like 2016, which is pretty recent. It wasn't even that long ago.
But isn't that kind of normal for like most publishing? Like most Hoya, the publishing takes a while.
It like could be, but then I don't know. For some reason, like in my mind, like Crasipidiolata is like a classic Hoya that you see like at the garden centers and stuff like that. And so I thought like for some reason it would be like the Verticillata or, you know, like the ones that have been published like a long time ago, or like a Lacunosa or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, huh, that's interesting that it literally was just published in 2017, but it might've been around way before that. And, you know, I don't know, cause I haven't been collecting, but I thought that was really interesting. And then I didn't know that this species is native to Vietnam.
Hmm. That's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah. I was, for some reason in my mind, I was thinking like our usual places like Thailand, Indonesia type of situation. But nope, this one grows. It's native to Vietnam, also found in Cambodia. In some instances, we're actually able to find the publication for this. So there'll be a show notes with the publication linked if you're interested. It's actually a really interesting article. I haven't had a chance to read all of it because we literally just opened it right now.
Yeah.
Lydia.
And it takes forever to open. So.
Lydia took that bargain. Take a long time to open. But
I wonder if we can screenshot it and just post that.
Oh, yeah. Just the cross of
rather than letting people...
We could do that. And
you
then
are the best part of this podcast.
No, I'm just looking for simplicity.
Guys, let me tell you.
Because I restarted this open like 3 times and it won't.
I don't have the
and
patience, I'm just like,
yeah, you have to just let it sit. You can't restart it. But anyway, there's like 22 other Hoya in this publication. If you could open it and see it, like you'd be able to.
Wow.
But a super interesting publication. I think the funniest thing is a follow-up to what Jesse said, how it's like really difficult and such. But literally in the publication, it says, this species is easily cultivated and may be recommended as a fast-growing ornamental plant. So the scientists have scienced and said that, you know, you should have no issue growing this plant. So I'm just saying. Nothing against you, but you know.
Yeah. In my experience, it was a fast-growing Hoya.
Yeah, like, very fast-growing, very easy. Fuss-free, does its thing. But interesting notes about this Hoya is, like I was literally, Adam and I were just talking about this, how there's the Hoya hanianensis, which looks literally like the green version of Hoya crassifatiolata. And it literally says that it's rather similar in leaf and flower morphology to Hoya hanianensis. And they also think that it's very similar or close to Hoya verticillata, acuta, parasitica.
And it's this just says too in the notes that it, the flower structure is very similar to pachyclotta.
And if you look at the flowers, really, they do look very, very similar to pachyclotta flowers. I feel like there's like less flowers in the umbel. Oh my gosh, but I have one.
You do.
And it's like finally grown. It did nothing for the longest time. It's finally growing and it's quite beautiful. I kind of love it.
See, maybe when I see April's, when we're in her greenhouse, I'm like, that is gorgeous. But I just don't know if that would translate in my home.
Mm, see, I'm not going to put on a trellis or anything, and I'm You're just going to let it go.
Hang. Okay, cute. Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be cute.
Yeah.
Because it gets those like big like umbels of flowers on it. So it kind of reminds me of like how compact it goes. Like it like grows and you have these like little umbels.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a peduncle or anything, but you know. You will. That's my thought.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's as easy to... Oh, no, that was a different way. Well, if it's as easy to cry as I say it, yeah, as
she
will.
Was ready.
Sorry. I did disclaimer my beef at the beginning of the episode.
My crassie never flowered for me, though.
Same. I still have one.
Okay.
And never had a single peduncle. I still, to this day, do not have a peduncle.
And when you're talking about the splash, right?
Yes, I have the crassifatiolata with splash.
Have you ever had like the green form?
I've never actually owned a green one. At one point in my Hoya journey, I had the Hoya hanianensis.
Yeah.
I found one at like a random local garden store or something. Cause you know how like that one, I feel like you can just find them randomly in places. Mm-hmm. I remember finding one of those and having one of those at one point. But no, I've never had a green version of Hoya crassifatiolata.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's a difference, but remember Hoya crassifatiolata, I feel like has been on a journey. Remember when there was the silver and the splash craze?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Back when like the Hoya craze first started, and it still feels wild to me because now you could get like a node of a cutting of crassifatiolata splash for like $5. But back then when it first came out, I remember a single node was $1,000. Do you guys remember that?
I do not.
No.
I got mine from you.
It was literally back in the day, the first time. And the price actually took a while because I feel like it hasn't been until like the last couple of years where once prices are high and something hits the market that it comes down really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like there was a time where the price would be high and it would stay there for like a year before it came down. But I think the market wasn't as saturated, you know, but there were literally times.
I have in front of me where you, me and my sister bid on a Hoya crassie that was being auctioned for a donation thing. And my sister, I'm sure in our name, bid $50 for it. And it had 15 minutes left. And the current price was $200 for a single node cut.
Do you have a date on that?
What was the date?
July 3rd, 2021.
Dang.
So it was even like before that, where it was super expensive. Yeah, I think that's when it started coming down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably why we bid, because it was cheaper than we'd seen it.
Yeah.
Dang, serpents used to be $100. Fuaensis, A one node cutting USB $75. Okay, Crassy Petty a lot of splash. One node $155.
And that's probably not like
now
at the height.
Is this a controversial statement that I don't think any Hoya cutting should ever be sold for over $10 or $15? Cutting. I'm not saying rooted. I'm saying just a cutting.
I say there are Hoya where it is justified for it to be up to $1,000.
Okay, now wrestle.
Up to a what? Up to how much?
Like $1,000.
I guess I could.
A cutting? Sorry.
No. Jody Silver has never gone down in price.
No, because people struggle like
people
hell.
People can't keep it alive. Yeah. It's a very difficult plant to grow and it's never come down in price.
So when you set something with a price point like that, what is it doing? It's weeding out the people who are just grabbing it and not treating it seriously, I guess. It is only going to attract like people who are, I don't know, but still, that just seems like so much. You're right, though. There are times I shouldn't, that like harsh generalizations in any part of our existence are bad. So not all Hoya cuttings should go for that. It's just fast growing Hoya. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just want to share everything. Everyone can just share.
I mean, yeah, and that's all it is. It's our thoughts and opinions. I can see that argument for a majority of Hoya. I can also see that some have such a difficulty to keep alive level that only true... Nobody should be selling me cuttings of rare Hoyas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really just think it depends. Like another Hoya, for example, that I feel like has really not dropped in price is Hoya Corymbosa.
Corymbosa.
Because Corymbosa, I feel like people say is a very challenging Hoya to grow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There's That's what I hear. There's somebody I follow on Instagram. I think it was Pacific Northwest Plant Lady. She recently lost her pup. That's but... Sad. Her Corymbosa bloomed in her prop box afterwards. And it was like, there was some attachment with the pup and the Corymbosa. But then I was like, oh, that's it. I remember us talking about the Corymbosa in a publication and thinking, oh, that looks like a really cool shingle, like a really pretty Hoya.
Yeah. This one, I mean, for the size, it's a pretty good sized one, $200.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still, it's still not one that's ever really gone down in price. Like it's stayed very consistent in price. And I think it's because people just have a hard time with it. It's just a very challenging plant to grow, you know? So like there's like some aspect in my mind of like, if it's a very challenging plant to grow, the person who's growing it has gone to some length to take care of that plant. And so... there's like some justification behind it, I guess.
Yeah.
In like, it's just like some capacity. I don't know. But that's
It was an ignorant statement from my point of view.
No.
But I guess I should say that Crassy Peel Out of Splash, I feel like that one or Crassy Peel Out of, that shouldn't, you really shouldn't be spending over $15 on a cutting, not rooted.
It used to be such an expensive plant. But I think at that time, really, there weren't a lot of people who had a lot of things. Or... things were going very quickly and it was hard to get your hands on things too, which also drove up the market, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But very expensive. It was very expensive for a very long time. But now I feel like it's one of those like, you know, there's like those classic beginner Hoya, like that you can get relatively cheap and it grows very well and easily, like a Carnosa or a Lacanosa. And I feel like a Crassy Petiolata has easily become in that category of like, you're a beginner. You have a plant that you want to try, like a Hoya that you want to try. Something that's splashy, grows really easily. Try a Hoya Crassy Petiolata, you know?
Yeah, and even if you don't care about the splash, the regular green form has beautiful veins too. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, like, and all those other ones, easy ones you listed are beautiful too. But like this one is just like, it gives a little show, I think.
It is really pretty. Yeah.
Gorgeous on a trellis.
And I've had mine for a really long time. Because I've had mine for at least like 4-ish years. That's when everyone was getting flat mites, you know? And the two leaves that I started out with are still on that plant with flat mite damage on the bottom.
That's wild.
From back in that time.
I kind when of I had love gotten it. That. And when you have plans like that, where you just have that.
And it's almost like a little bit of an era of Hoya history when everybody.
It's like your belt that shows your notches. Was going through
That
used to be
the
me.
Hoya like era, the Hoya flat mic era.
Yes.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey there, Let's Talk Hoya listeners. We're so glad that you're here joining us as we chat all about Hoya. And can you believe it? It's already been over a year since we've been doing this podcast, and it's just been filled with so many great memories. And most of those surround you, our listeners, and hearing from you all and getting to engage with you. And if you like what you're hearing, we hope you take a moment to leave us a review. Honestly, it means so much to us. They make us laugh and it brightens our day. And so we hope that you take a moment to do that. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram. You can find us at lets.talkhoya and check out our show notes. They're linked in our bio. We also have a Patreon community called Peduncle Pals, and we hope to see you there.
Out of the three different varieties of Crassi Pilata, green form / variegated, F, Mary, kill.
Kill green form. Mary variegated and
F. Have a little fun with the sparkle. Yeah, I can't. I'm with it. I would say.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Immediately kill the green form.
Kill the green form. I love the variegated version. I've never had it, but I love it because of the variegation pattern looking so akin to the Astralis Elliptica.
Oh, okay.
And Astralis, like the watercolor.
Watercolor,
type.
Yes.
I know that's beautiful. There's probably a better technical term for that, but at least when I say it, we all know what we're talking about.
That's exactly what it looks like when you see someone who's done a watercolor painting and you see how the colors kind of.
The shading.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like though.
And I would like that eventually at some point. Mm-hmm. I'll probably find it one day, but.
So Jessie lovingly shared her experience with Hoya Crassi Pilata. What about everybody else? I guess there's only three of us in here. So Adam!
I kept mine in a 3.5 inch net pot. The small ones in that white plastic, like IKEA outer pot. Cover pot for its whole existence. And I remember I restarted it a couple times because of flat mites. But it always filled up a circle trellis beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Like absolutely beautifully. Grew like a champ. I think it just became really, for me, that Hoya became so compact around that trellis, it was really difficult to treat, and it was really infected with some mites, and I was just, having a day.
Yeah.
And I had my scissors, and I went. I do think I just took a cutting of it to restart that one, but all in all, I had it under grow lights the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It grew beautifully, never flowered. Was often completely dry and abused and still put
did
on
its
a show.
Thing.
Yeah, it did. The splash one did. And I love that you said that about the leaves, because I'm thinking back to when I had restarted it the first time. I think the original leaves from your cutting were on it. Like, I think that one just kind of
they stay for a long,
yeah.
I've really not lost any leaves.
Which is pretty indicative of Hoya compared to aroids.
Mm-hmm.
Like as aroids will lose the older leaves, but the Hoya is kind of, I don't know, interesting.
Yeah. No,
100%. I thought it was pretty easy though. I don't know. All things considered. How about you?
Yeah, I still have mine.
Yeah.
And I've ebbed and flowed with do I want to keep this? Do I not want to keep it? And so because of that, I haven't repotted it at all since I put it into one of those Melfo pots.
Oh, it's in a Melfo.
But I took it, I it still has the inner part of the Melfo because it fit into perfectly into this really pretty like ceramic pot with like a little gold dip on the bottom, like perfectly. And I can fill it up more because it like, because it's kind of a tall pot. So I've it has a little bit more of a reservoir and then it doesn't dry out because it doesn't have the holes. So I just put it in there as like a last ditch effort, like a couple years ago. And it still grows in there. And the roots are crazy in that pot. Like they wrap around inside of the pot.
Wow.
It's wild. It's, you know, that was when I did used to cut the roots off.
And no, they're just cutting like roots going crazy. And she still grows beautifully. And I remember putting that on a circle trellis because I had seen yours. And I was like, that's really pretty. And so I decided to put mine on a circle trellis. And I don't do anything really for this plant, and I don't know when I'm going to up-pot it. Never. And she's just doing her thing. She's growing, and she just goes, and very fuss-free, happy. So there's not much that I can say about this plant. She just grows in pond.
I cannot believe grows it's really still well in a Melfo pot.
Like, and the roots are literally insane. And she's still growing, so at this point I'm like, I just can't be bothered, and she's growing well, so...
Yeah.
You know?
Oof.
Guys, I'm looking at pictures of them on Instagram, and I feel like I really need one in my collection again.
You know what I literally thought today? I have one that's propagated already, and, like, in a little pot, and I was like, oh, I bet Jesse and Adam don't have this anymore. I should just bring it and you see if anybody wants it.
Fired.
And then I was like, Jesse would take it, and it would die. Ah!
You just said it was fine to let plants die with me last week.
It would die slowly.
Quickly.
I often think about what Hoya like that, like the Crassy Splash and like the Australis Lisa, what they would look like if they were like as big as that Carnosa over there with a big trellis that's like 6 feet tall. Could you imagine like a Crassy filling up an entire pot?
The splashy one would be like a mirror ball probably.
Sometimes I was like, I wish I had the patience to grow out a Hoya that long.
But you do.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But okay.
You wish you had the patience again.
Yeah.
It legit looks like it came out of a botanical garden.
The space, I guess. Because that one's also not that great. I think I need to, when it gets cooler, I can take it outside and soak it down.
Mm-hmm. But you do. You don't need this table. You could just put more Hoyas in.
Yeah. I do think a big, huge trellis just covered in Crassy would be gorgeous.
Yeah.
The splash one.
But it grows really easily. But mine's never bloomed. I've never even seen a peduncle on mine ever. So
I was just looking at blooms.
Can I see that?
But it's supposed to be fragrant.
They're so cute. They have like
some kind of scent.
Inside pink.
Hakuna La Planta.
Not cute.
They do look very similar to verticillata though. Like when if I would just have saw a flower, I would have said that's a verticillata.
Yeah, 100%. But very easy, fuss-free plant. I think it's gorgeous. Do I want the variegated one? There are parts of me. There are different plants that I would even rather have than a variegated one. But if the opportunity presents itself, I mean, I wouldn't say no. It's a very gorgeous plant. But I don't have like this like huge desire to be like, oh, I have to have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think I feel that about.
I know that's true because you haven't approached me about splitting one. Because when Lydia really wants plants, she'll be like, we could split it.
We could split it.
And I'll be like, well, I'm just going to kill mine, but.
Yeah.
But I've been like finding little joys in just like going to like a little plant nursery and just getting a plant. Now I have all of these non-Hoya plants.
Yeah.
So I said this last time, but I deemed the office as all the Hoya go in here. And the rest of the house can have all the other types of plants.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Crassy Petiolata. Okay, but I need to see a picture of a variegated one again real quick.
Now, the prices for the Crassy have come down.
What is it looking at right now?
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
$15, okay. Yeah,
for a variegated one?
No, oh no, this is just regular.
It's gorgeous though.
The variegated one. Oh, the variegated one is so pretty. It's very, very similar to Elliptica, I feel.
So for like a one-node cutting, of a variegated Crassi petiolata, like smaller leaves, is about like $95. Oh, you know the newest thing that I've been seeing though?
What?
Is there's a Hoya Crassi petiolata and Michelle that have been crossed. And there's a stable version of it, and it's kind of gorgeous. Michelle.
Oh,
Hoya Michelle so and Hoya like, Crassi petiolata.
It's just like a bigger crossy.
It's
marbled.
It's very, it looks almost like the heart-shaped, like heart-shaped leaf, the hydracium that's like variegated. The pattern of that leaf. You know what I'm saying?
Like uh-huh.
I'm going to Google it.
The
heart-shaped philodendron.
Yes. I literally have that. Okay, let me tell you something non-Hoya related. Okay.
Philodendron. I need to know the name first.
Philodendron hydracium.
Yeah, hydracium.
Variegated.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the ones that I went to Home Depot to pick up once. It looks mosaic. What is it? I was thinking something else. Never mind. Not a spark. Go ahead.
Okay, remember like 2-ish years ago you went to DC, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone who brought me a cutting or gave me a cutting of the variegated hydracium. And I've had it this whole time. I potted it into a pot and I left it in soil. And it sat in a window that was, what's adjacent, like maybe west facing. It never got like direct sunlight. And it grew, but it never seemed like super happy or anything like that. And so my bathroom now has a window and it gets sun all day long, like the most immaculate sunlight you could possibly imagine. So I put it on the ledge in that bathroom, and the leaves that I was getting before were maybe like the size of like a US dollar coin. Maybe.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, they're beautiful in pattern and everything, but they weren't very big. I am getting leaves the size of literal baseballs, like dang, the palm of my hand, since I have moved into this house, which has been a month.
Wow.
And there are like 5 new vines starting everywhere. And they are size of the palm of my leaf. And the variegation on, the, I mean, this plant is clearly living its best life. And it's beautiful.
That is so, it likes so, the light.
I want to see a picture of that.
I guess it does. Leaves. So now I'm like, so this is what you're capable of. And this is what you were doing to me all of this time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So anyway, I know this is a Hoya podcast, but I just had to share it because I got very excited about it. Because every morning now I look at it after I wake up and I'm like, you're so happy.
No, it is something special when you finally find that, like you find the right spot for those plants.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the
it makes sense. Oh,
the Michelle and Hoya Crassi petiolata, and I guess there's a stable version, and it's just so splashy. And it literally, so Michelle has like those like rounder leaves, and it reminds me of a Michelle splash if the leaf shape were a Crassi petiolata. That's literally what it reminds me of. It's beautiful. That is all.
I don't know. I'm definitely not saying this right, but in Vietnam, there is a larger city called Hanoi. And then there's also an island, Hanan. So I think that's where the Hananensis came from. I'm guessing. Because that's how it's spelled, right?
Uh-huh.
But... uh-huh. Do we think that this is like, that's just like a wild cross that happened because they're both in the same exact area and they look so similar?
You know, I don't know anything about this Hoya, but when I look at people, they put in parentheses AH clone. So I'm almost wondering if it's something that was crossed by AH Hoya.
Mm.
That is just my assumption. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we're sufficiently made me want to have a Crassi pilata again. The splash.
Looks at me.
But I would rather have a variegated version.
Yeah.
So if we ever want to go splitsies on one of those.
Oh, she really wants it.
Okay, but, $95 divided by 3 is some number in the 30s.
Yeah, like 31.
Adam 30. Grows it. Okay, but hear me out. But
see, the thing is, I feel like I've been in charge of these before and I haven't passed out the stuff and no one's reminded me. Like the Archboldiana.
I can grow it too. Okay, but hear me out. you put on a trellis, a splashy one and a variegated one together, save space.
I don't think
okay,
but I do love the I love putting the regular yeah. with the variegated.
I wonder if there's going to be an outer variegated crusty petiolata.
Probably.
That variegation on that one looks pretty like splat, like it doesn't look like it's an inner or an outer. It kind of just looks all over random. Not if that's, I don't know if that's a thing or not.
She's Googling it to make sure it doesn't exist.
Google says no. Anyway, for your crusty petiolata, I would say, because I've never had the variegated version before, if you want a very nice, stable, easy-growing Hoya, the green or the splashy Hoya crusty petiolata are good contenders, and they grow very easily. So that would be my recommendation.
And also my recommendation. What about you, Jesse?
My recommendation, as per usual, is Zoet.
Okay.
But if you do Zoet, make sure Adam is nearby and has a backup for you.
Right. No, because I don't have it. I am interested in hearing your guys' journey with the flowers of this Hoya. So if you've gotten this to flower, obviously, Kevin, Hukuna LaPlanta did. What's your tricks? Give us all the tips. But head over to Instagram. We're at let's.talkhoya. And you can tag us in stories, chat with us over there, and you can also follow all of your hosts individually. I am at NotDude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye.
Picture this, you're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.